It is time to bring in Jim Lynch, cover your assets. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing over 40 years of experience to these subjects and more. And ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in the Red Baron. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Jill, everybody. And let me begin with, where do we begin? Anyhow, folks,
someone has a word.
I kind of mean that.
Someone has. I'm glad to hear that someone's got as bad a voice singing as I do.
Well, that wasn't what he meant.
I know.
Okay, so here, let me start with this. Things are unfolding at a very rapid fire pace. That's obvious, but there's something I'd like to bring to our attention. Lamar Alexander, who is a senator from the state of Tennessee, he has said he's not going to run in 2020. The rumblings are that a number of senators, Republicans, they're rumblings, okay, are not going to run for 2010. This kind of sets it up for a showdown, if indeed the House impeaches Trump, for the Senate to be in a very different position immediately as these resignations start taking place. Because much as we saw Bob Corker and Flake of Arizona begin to take on Trump, and as they were leaving the Senate, we will see more senators, I believe, stepping up and being critical. I'm talking Republican senators, and setting the stage for a possible showdown. Now, that's down the road, but the point is, we have to understand that these politicians, these senators, these House of Representatives people, they become billionaires while they're there, but they don't become billionaires normally. So in the next several years, I doubt very much that Donald Trump is going to be first in their support. Rather, they will be supporting themselves.
I don't know, Jim.
Still on?
Yeah, I don't know, Jim. I was, when Donald Trump was elected, I was one to think that Republicans would have been smart enough to dump him before the midterms, because of exactly what happened in the midterms. And I predicted that was happening, and I was wrong. I was wrong. And here's what I see as someone who is old enough and was old enough when Richard Nixon was going to be impeached. The Republican body in the Senate made a very smart move when they went to see the president and said, "Mr. President, there's no way you have the votes." And they did it to save the country from going through an impeachment where a president was actually was found guilty during the impeachment process. And Richard Nixon was smart enough to take their advice. When Bill Clinton was impeached, and there's still people who don't understand that Bill Clinton was impeached. When the House goes through the vote and the Senate goes through the vote, you're impeached. Now you either win the impeachment or
he wasn't removed.
He was not removed. He did. He was not convicted. But you go through. You're impeached. The Democrats had enough votes to save it. To save the presidency for Bill Clinton. And when you come to this, where we stand now, I am now firmly convinced that the Republican Party, if in a hypothetical case, if impeachment charges are brought, and people know where I stand, my opinion is on Donald Trump, my friends know it, the listeners know it, but If impeachment charges are brought, and the House will obviously, now the Democrats control it, vote to impeach the president. When it goes before the Senate, it's going to be very interesting because you don't have enough Republicans that are going to move. It's not going to happen, Jim, because look at what happened over the past couple of years. Anybody that disapproves of what the president does, who's a Republican, is basically kicked out of the party. you look at the fact that 80% of Republicans, 80% of Republicans support what he does. And that means that now, right now, you've got 80% of the Senate Republicans. They're going to support him. They're going to support him. I just don't see how an impeachment right now would succeed. I mean, yes, the Democrats could bring things out in investigations which have been shut down and not run properly by now. They could do all that. But they'd have to come up with a real home run hit to convince. I think they would need to convince, I think it's 10 or 12 senators, Republican senators, to vote for impeachment. I just don't see those. I don't see those 12 brave, strong souls.
And while we're at it, let's please try and remember that our attention is supposed to be, at least if anything that I was watching last night, is anything to go by. And Marshall already knows this. I said, "Hey, Marshall, when is the Iowa caucus? When exactly is it?" And it's actually, you know, what, 12 months, 14 months from now. So it's, you know, either something's going to get done, or a bunch of people are going to spend a bunch of time talking about the horror of it all. And
here's where Jim was right. I think they have to. The investigations that have been done so far have been closed door investigations by the Republican caucus, because they control the House and the Senate. I think the investigations have to be done, and you have to find out the facts. But I really don't think we're going to see anything happen until, unless I'm surprised somehow, until after the president is out of office.
That appears, you know, again, if you are watching the details of those things, that appears to be an area of leverage.
Here's Jim, and you live in New York, so you would have a better idea of this. Everything that they're talking about with the Mueller probe, the thing that's going to get Donald Trump is going to come out of the Ninth Circuit of New York. That's the thing that's going to get
the Southern District.
The Southern District, the Southern District of Court. That's those. That's
those
the
have
thing.
Already been forwarded to the Southern District. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's just that that's not the Washington probe. That's theirs.
That's their probe, but that's the thing that those the indictments that are going to come out of there are going to be
the troubling ones.
Are the troubling ones, because it's going to be against the whole Trump organization and a bunch of other things.
It's business, as Big Ed Bookman used to say.
Those are the home run hitters, and that's the beauty of the way Mueller set up his probe, is that he gave certain things to other agencies that.
They could use.
That they could use.
Or, so to speak, they could run with.
And I think that those are the things you're going to hear the committee set up and talking about what's happening in that night. That seems to be what the big thing that is looming in the background. It's going to be, as someone who likes to watch politics, it will be a very interesting thing to watch and see what happens with what comes out of New York State in the form of indictments when they have unindicted co-conspirators. That will be the interesting thing when it gets before Congress.
But meanwhile, people need to plan to run against him, which they will. Yeah. And meanwhile, if I may say, I understand Democrats would do well, in my view, to actually have a candidate. I mean, there's now so many candidates. This is like, it'd be really good to have someone to, because now what you've got, and as a smart person wrote, couldn't agree more, it is now Nancy Pelosi's job to deliver to whoever the 2020 candidate is, Donald Trump's head on a platter. Now, what you actually have for the first time is someone who is as loathed and reviled on one side as the other is on the other. Because there is a pretty decent group of, by decent I mean a fairly good sized group that is not a Pelosi fan. They're not, you know, Republicans are not Pelosi fans. So you now, for instead of all of the attention being on the horror that is, you know, in the view of some, that is, you know, all of that energy has gone onto Trump and been projected on Trump. Now there are actually two people in the ring. And that's going to be, as I said, these aren't my thoughts. This is just a smart person who wrote, like, here
we go. Let me use Marshall's point on the Southern District. I agree very much so that they will be very, very prominent in what goes on here. I brought up the long-term aspect when I brought up the Senate changing hands in terms of a possible impeachment. But let me get to my real point, not my real point, my short-term feeling. My short-term feeling is that Trump will be indicted. And there are only memos at the Justice Department that say, well, guys, we shouldn't indict a sitting president. There is no law, N-O, law, in the Constitution or anywhere else. What I see happening to Donald Trump is not impeachment. I see the exercise of the rule of law by the Justice Department. There are 17 cases outstanding at various and sundry districts, including Southern District, the Mueller probe, Virginia, on and on and on. Somebody will nail him. In terms of an indicting, it might indicting him for crimes while president. There is a theory that since he and the Russians conspired to win the presidential election, that he is not a valid president and therefore is subject to indictment for crime as anybody else. Now, that's a legal thing. That's something that will be chewed over, talked over, fought over in the courts and so forth. But it is a reality. And one of the things that makes, in my opinion, indictment very, very possible, and the indictment would come from the Justice Department, from Mueller, from Southern District. One of the things that make it very plausible is that Trump's crimes have risen to a point where it demands substantial action. Nixon covered up a break-in of a building. Trump has been running a crime family. He's been stealing money from the American public through his hotels, through accepting bribes from foreign governments, through funneling money from the Russians to real estate and taking a fee in between. And of late, and this is not part of the investigation as I know it, basically being complicit in the killing of an American journalist. So I really, myself, am not interested in impeachment. I'm interested in a more short-term conclusion to this, which would be indictment. And people were going to argue whether it's plausible or not, but they can't argue with what's coming out now. If you look at the Senate, they have confirmed that the Russians have done more than their fair share of attempting to get Trump elected, which they did, using Facebook and other sources. Now it's coming out. The same Russian trolls have been trolling Mueller, a man who is investigating Trump. Do we need any more evidence? It's obvious as the nose is on our face that Trump is up to his eyeballs in a conspiracy. One, to win the presidency, and two, to keep the presidency. I want to make a few quick flash points. Trump said when he was running, he would only get the best people. 11 people have left his government. 4 had to resign because they've been stealing, basically, to keep it mild. He told us that our deficit would go down. It's gone up to record heights. He told us that we'd have infrastructure. We have no infrastructure. He told that he would build a military so we would be safe. Well, folks, yesterday, I'm certain it's been about, the Chinese and the Russians have supersonic jets that we cannot compete with, okay?
This guy laid $750 billion on the table to support his friends in the defense industry. We are rapidly slipping behind in every area, internationally, militarily, and economically. So I think indictment is very much in the cards. The sooner it comes, the sooner we can get dispense with this guy and get back to trying to be a civilized country. The Russians have done an incredible job, if you read how they were conspiring to have Trump become president. One of them is the use of Jill Stein, who was at a dinner with Putin and Flynn and took money. They're in part of what the Russians did, they basically said, oh, you know, you don't like Trump, you don't like Hillary, oh, Jill Stein, okay? You'll look and find that black people were set up. Oh, if you don't like either of them, don't vote, or vote Jill Stein, something else. We've got a bigger mess on our hands than we can possibly imagine, and therefore we need an indictment, because an indictment will get it all out. And the investigations are great, but the Justice Department can charge crimes. The Congress can't. So I want an indictment.
Right. You know, what's interesting to sit and look at, by the way, what we're talking about are all our own opinions. And right now everything is alleged, but there's a lot of writing on the wall. Jim, we were in between a rock and a hard place when Hillary Clinton was running against Donald Trump, because had Hillary Clinton won, and the Congress and the Senate were like they stayed with the Russian involvement, you would have, instead of going through what we're going through now, we definitely would be going through impeachment process against Hillary Clinton. We were in for a terrible, terrible, terrible 2 to 3 years, no matter what, because of what turned out to be Russian involvement and Russian involvement stirring up certain things and the stories about Hillary Clinton. Now, as anybody knows, I was no Hillary Clinton fan. I was a Bernie Sanders supporter, but we were in for 2 to 3 horrible years, no matter what happened. You know, Jim, that if Hillary Clinton would have been elected with this Senate and with this House, we'd be right now raging in the middle of
Russia,
of Russia, and an impeachment of Hillary Clinton.
On what grounds would we impeach Hillary Clinton?
The State Department
pay for play.
Jim, there's no grounds needed when you control the House and Senate, you come up and you do what you want. Hell, they would use Benghazi again. I'm telling you, it would have been a nightmare either way, and we're stuck now.
We got the
way.
Candidates. I mean, with all due respect to everyone who set this up, pretty much got the candidates we deserved. And now the question is, how do we dig ourselves out of this hole?
That's the whole thing. We have to dig ourselves out of this hole, and it's going to be very interesting. This is the next 2 years with the Democrats in control of the Congress, the House, is going to be very interesting to see
if we do it or not.
If we can do it or not, yeah.
It's that simple. It's just like I'm really waiting, instead of the captive audience now being like, okay, here we go for 2020. Here we go. You hate this, well, you hate that. You know, it's how about let's get productive? But I'm not optimistic.
When Bernie Sanders ran, just remember what he said, Jim, and this is what people forget. The president can't do it alone. If you're going to have government work, it's got to be from the ground up. Yes, a president can lead. Yes, a president can give a certain indication to the world. Yes, the president can. There's a lot the president can do, but he can't do it alone. And I'll take back. He or she can't do it alone. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in this next 2 years.
Well, maybe that's what springs from illegitimacy, because he was not elected by the people. He was elected by the Electoral College, which is totally unfair, since you have two senators from
North Dakota, and two senators from California and two senators from New York. California and New York basically contribute 30%, if not more, of the GNP of this country. Why should these smaller states have the same say in what we're doing as a country, particularly when the country becomes divisive and those small states carry too much weight for what they do vis-a-vis the country?
It's interesting you bring that up, because back when the Electoral College was formed, and I don't think that the founders of this country ever thought that we would be as divided as we are right now.
Thank you, social media.
I just don't think they ever thought that. Even though we went through a civil war, we went through all that, but this is totally different. The ideal of the Electoral College was not a bad idea at first. It's like Andrew Rohrbeck, who was a Congress who represented us here in the state of Connecticut, said every law starts out as a good law, and some of them turn into bad laws. It was set up so that the
you
states
equalized it.
So the states, when you had national elections, they had as much power as the big states. Even though they didn't have as much population, it was kind of equal. That's what it was set up for.
We have a weighted vote. I'm going to say this. We have a weighted vote in at the school board in Region 1, because some towns are smaller.
But so that's what it was set up for. Now, we have obviously grown to the point where the Electoral College raises ire more than it did. The original idea was good, but it's not functioning really well now. But how do you treat that flyover zone, Jim? That's what in the 50s and 60s what it was called. You went from one coast to the other. That was the flyover zone. How do you make them feel part of the mix if you take that away?
And bearing in mind that on your coasts, which control the media and the finance and the business, you've got a bunch of like-thinking individuals.
That's the only thing. How do you make them feel in the mix?
I think it's a matter of fairness.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems nowadays with this anti-sentiment that we have. Regarding certain groups of people, people have got to get into being fair in their minds.
Yeah.
And if we want continued chaos, then we don't improve. We will not improve, and we'll still have chaos.
Yeah. You're
a constitutional amendment would take care of the Electoral College, and then it's up to people to adapt. Go ahead.
No, we only have 2 minutes left, and I'm sorry. We get involved in a conversation. We probably took it in a place you didn't want to go. But it's very interesting when you look at the Electoral College. It really is what has happened over the past three elections or four elections is very, very interesting. And you know what? We've got to have a Congress and Senate that work like they used to work to get anything done. That's the bottom line. No matter who's president now, you've got to have a Congress that you go back to the old days where you had Tip O'Neill and you had, Ted Kennedy, and on the Democratic side
actually working with one another.
People like Barry Goldwater and stuff like that really did work. They didn't just cross the aisle ceremonially. They really did work together, and that's what we need, Jim.
And it'll be really interesting because that's what this period should be about. Let's see. You've got any leaders out there waiting?
Remember United, that thing that gave millionaires the right
Citizens United.
Decide elections?
Citizens United.
Worst law ever made.
Yep.
Well, I guess maybe if we start on that and get rid of that.
Absolutely.
I'm there.
Maybe that's the beginning.
Get some of that money out of there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Worst law ever passed. Worst law ever passed. Corporations can be people. That's absolutely
exactly
the worst law.
And remember, folks, as you're thinking of your next vote, minimum wage raised, health care, pollution control, infrastructure, good jobs, education for people to get into the economy, into the spin, so that they can make some money.
All right.
Anyhow, good talking to you. We'll succeed.
Hey,
raise the flag. Watch out.
All right.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Love you. Bye bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here this morning on Robinhood Radio.